What's up, baddie bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club.
I remember after I got burned, I wanted to hide. I did not want to show my scars. I was taking a trip to Mexico and going to the beach, and I was on Amazon looking for socks that I could wear on the beach. Like, I wanted to hide everything. And one of the women there, she told me something that I would never forget. And she said, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to always have these scars on your body, and they're going to be for the rest of your life. So you might as well own it.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we are joined by Crystal Lee, the visionary founder of Monroe Chutique. Crystal's journey from launching her business to creating a lifestyle brand dedicated to empowering women through stylish high heels is inspiring. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Despite facing life-challenging tragedies, Crystal emerged stronger, pioneering programs like Monroe Walk Workshop Heels Class to transform women's confidence. And so we are going to be talking about her resilience, her innovation, and empowerment. Thank you so much for being with us today, Crystal.
Thank you for having me. That was so beautiful. I was like, take it in.
You're like, no, stop. Keep going. No, stop, but keep going.
Yes. You know, I think when you just doing life, right? When you're just being passionate and then someone gives you any kind of praise, you're like, oh, no, don't. I don't want to hear it. I'm just waking up and living life, you know? So, yeah.
But you need to hear it. You have to hear it. We all deserve that space. Before we dive in, I would love to hear in your own words who you are and what you do.
Awesome. If I could describe me into words, or three or four or five, I'll just try to do two. I'll say I'm a problem solver, right? And I am a big cheerleader, right? Not in uniform and skirts, but in mindset. So just me being me, this is who I am in my everyday life, my personal life. I've learned to just navigate these characteristics into entrepreneurship. And I've never grew up wanting to be like an entrepreneur. I wanted to be everything else. I didn't really have that much insight into it. But long story short, just being a problem solver, being a woman that likes to empower others, I decided to create the Monroe Chutique brand, which is the shoe retail side, specializing in women's footwear. Being that my product line is just dominant women high heels, I always come across women that wanted to purchase the styles that I sold, but they didn't know how to actually wear them. And this is where my cheerleader side will always kick in. Yes, you can. You can wear them. You can walk in them. And they're like, no, for real. I can't. Those are beautiful, but I can walk in them. Long story short, I decided to solve that problem as well. And I had no idea at the time that the heels class would morph into this beautiful empowerment, confidence building framework platform that it is today. It's even international as well. I just wanted to solve problems. I just wanted to help women be their best selves. And if wearing heels made you feel good, I'll help you walk in them. I'll show you how it's done. So that's a little bit more insight to, I guess, the brand personality as well as my personality.
I love that. And you come from a, what is it, like science engineer or computer science, computer technology. Like, I don't even know. I just remember it was like something engineering. And I'm like, how did you come, clearly that's a different part of the brain, but then come into this, like, what was that transition?
Yes, that's a great question there. I graduated with my master's actually at 25, right? With a master's in managing information system. And still to this day, I am in this computer field. I am an IT project manager. So that goes over everyone's head. I just stopped talking about it. However, there is a correlation between entrepreneurship and what I do, and it's about processes, right? You have to follow this process. You have to go through the process in order to get the end product. So it's not that big of a transition for me or an adjustment for me. A lot of things, especially today, is done on the web. You know, you get your website, you got digital products. So having that computer background and knowing how to actually utilize computers and how they work, different software applications, it actually gives me more of an advantage. Even with my website, going on my 10th year anniversary as an entrepreneur next month, and I have for the last 10 years built the website and maintained it. I've never worked with web designers or anyone, you know, as it goes for my website. So it has its big advantage. There's really no disadvantage to it. And it kind of will hopefully get people to understand how I can get so much done. It's because I have this tool, not just social media, but I have this computer tool that I know the ins and outs of, you know, for over 10 years now. This has been my professional career.
Well, yeah. And the discipline for IT project management, the discipline and the attention to detail just in that self. That's probably why you're successful, is because those traits that you bring over versus big picture, only creative. I love that.
And when things go wrong, guess what? You still have to make sure you deliver, right? So it's so funny. I actually was just chatting on Facebook about this, how I have this solution-oriented mindset. Like I'm programmed like this. And this is the part I always want people to understand. If you know what I do professionally, you will understand me personally. And as an entrepreneur, you know, I just know how to solve problems.
Yeah.
And deliver.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yes.
I love this whole like high heel empowerment, because typically, especially maybe 20 years ago, the sexualization and objectification of using high heels seemed more of, it was this society pressure, this let me accentuate your curves, you have to wear it. And I love what you're doing, because you're really, it's more of a, you're making a symbol of empowerment versus oppression. You're taking high heels as the symbol of empowerment and saying, this is your preference. I'm wearing it because I feel good. I feel confident. Let me show you how to do those things versus, well, do you want to be considered sexy? That's what society wants from you. And instead your approach is like, no, I am fucking sexy and I'm going to wear high heels because that makes me feel sexy. So how did that start? How did you all of a sudden focus in on that one component of it?
Yes, that is awesome. When I remember doing my very first high heels class, and for me, it was more about the logic of walking in heels, right? I just wanted to show you, okay, here's your heel to toe. This is how you go about it. But I learned so many stories from different women and what actually brought them to the heels class. It wasn't, every woman wasn't there because they did not know how to walk in heels, or they didn't necessarily have the skill set. They may have changed, they may have had like a change in their lifestyle from career. Now their kids are older, they're divorced now, or they just want to do something more feminine. And that helped me tap into understanding that we need to focus on our confidence, which is inner, right? A lot of times women have this misconception that they can put high heels on and now they have this feminine energy and now I can get the man and I will break you. Oh my God, I would distill that immediately. Like, we're not doing that, because honestly, if that's your goal, let me tell you, men can tell when the feminine energy is not real themselves, okay? So what we focus on is just being our true selves, being who we are, and moving to our rhythm. And that's why I learned it, honestly, the very first heels class. And I don't really hear any story that I haven't heard you know, before. I've been doing this for many years now. So I kind of know how to even navigate the women at the very, very beginning. And something that I do, this is like an insider, something that I do is assign each woman an alter ego name at the very beginning of the Hills class. And I tell them, that's who you channel, because we come that, well, they'll come in with like all of these different restrictions and limitations, and it's never physical. It's always mental, right? And I just want them to have an opportunity to have a space to just be someone different, which is who they are. It's channeling your inner sex appeal, standing up and saying, I can do it. Talk to yourself differently versus saying, well, Crystal, you do it, but I can't. No, you can do it too. And let me tell you how it starts with your mindset. I learned that in 2019 during the very first Hills class. It's the biggest reward for me, honestly. I travel all over with this. And if it was about money, I wouldn't travel. It's really my passion. And I'm so serious. It's my passion. I love for women to just feel good. And I know that it starts with your mindset, you know? So yeah, it's not... We don't want to over-sexualize, like you're mentioning, you know, just putting a pair of heels on and now you're sexy, because you can put that pair of heels on and still not feel sexy. And what it is all in your mind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what were some of the challenges that you faced when you first started the company?
You know, starting the business itself back in 2014, my biggest challenge was myself. Because I've always been an introvert. I am one of those entrepreneurs that you would have to really know me to understand that I am an introvert. And I used to think that because I didn't have like this extrovert skill set that I wouldn't be successful, honestly, with being an entrepreneur. It requires you to talk to people. It requires you to get on the field and work and network and all those great things. So my biggest hurdle was I remember the day I created the website and I wanted to publish it. And it was May 31st, 2014. And in order to publish this website, I went on ahead and set my Shopify site to go live. And I powered my phone. No, I made a Facebook status and I said, hey, everyone, I just published my website. Go shop with me. Made one of those cute little status and I powered my phone off for the rest of the night. And I turned it back on very early in the morning because I'm one of these hyperactive people. And I had 100 likes on Facebook and all these congratulations, a couple of orders. So from there, my biggest hurdle, even till this day, I get a little nervous sometimes, has always been how to silence that self-doubt, right? I'm still a human no matter what I do. And I still have to work through my own mindset or my own mental challenges that I may face from anxiety, et cetera, you know? So it was just silencing that self-doubt. And once I did that and I started to see the feedback, that was rewarding, you know? And from there, it wasn't about anyone else. It made me feel like I could just literally do anything. And that's why I literally do everything now.
Yeah.
I just do so much now.
Yeah, it's such a valid point too. And I think that's like a lot of people's is like, what was the biggest challenge? Is like myself, my beliefs.
Yes.
You know, what I thought I could handle, me thinking it wasn't enough, not good enough, not whatever, people wouldn't like it. And so what obviously, you've grown significantly. What have been, in your opinion, the biggest things that have created that growth for you?
That's such an awesome question. I think that I would have to say what created this sense of confidence is just belief. It's simply that. It's belief, right? You really have to have the faith of a mustard seed, and that I do have. I'm just one of those type of people that I love to create. I like to influence. I like to also impact because I know who I am and I think highly of myself in a way of I am a good person. And if I can reach just one person, you know, in a positive way, that feels good to me. So that keeps me going. As I mentioned, there's nothing that I don't do that I don't feel like at times, oh my God, I hope this goes good. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself out here like that. I'd rather just stay home and hang out with my cats, you know. But it's like, well, I feel so good. It's so rewarding when I fly out to these different cities and I get in front of these women and I coach them. And now they're smiling, they're hugging me, and they're like, oh, let's get pictures. And they're texting me their feedback. And it's always been amazing. I live for those moments. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's just self-motivation and self-belief is what keeps me going still.
Yeah. What did you do in COVID time? Because like most people working from home, staying at home.
Yes.
I used to wear high heels a lot. I liked wearing high heels. And then once COVID happened and I was like all slippers, all flats. Yes. And then once I went back out, I could not wear heels. I was like, how did I do this? Like, what was COVID like and what was post-COVID like?
So a couple of things. So from the retail side, what I did was I focused on the high heel girls from a lifestyle standpoint, right? Like now I spiced it up and I did photo shoots in my home with a model, make sure she tested negative, everything was good to go. But we would put on like maybe houseware, like, you know, a house coat or whatever. And we will put together like campaigns about still being the high heel girl, but you're inside now. As for it went to the retail side again, I'm more so focused on practical heels, right? Because I don't know if you noticed, but after COVID, a lot of the designs of high heels change and they are way more practical. It became impossible almost to sell a woman a pair of 6-inch heels and she then found a way to maneuver life for these last couple of years, feeling nice and cozy and comfortable in her high shoes. And you think she wants to wear those? No, she doesn't. She wants to wear something a little bit more practical that gives her kind of that confidence boost if she wants, and also comfortability. So the designs of heels changed. When it came to the workshop, I was already ahead of COVID, fortunately, right? I already started to turn my program into a digital product because as I mentioned, I'm just one of those entrepreneurs that's always forward thinking. And I'm always like, what else can I do to invest in myself and progress what I'm doing? I cannot do the same thing over and over and over too long. I start to feel like I'm not doing enough and I always need the progression and growth. So before COVID, I've already pre-recorded one of my heels class, turned it to a digital product and had it online as an online heels class to allow more women that wanted to learn my framework but weren't local to reach me and learn how to walk in heels from home. So COVID was the end all be all for me. I mean, my online heels class became my bread and butter, right? Because now I got it on TikTok and I'm promoting like what it was like to attend a heels class. And then when someone would say, oh my God, I wish I could do this, you can. Yeah, you can learn from home. You don't need to fly out to me. You don't need to leave your bedroom. Learn from home. So that's what happened. And now I'm not going to lie. The heels class tour is the bread and butter. And now no one wants to stay home and learn how to walk in heels. So I'm just like, okay, I don't want another pandemic to happen. But I need my girlies to get me with this online heels class again.
Yeah, that's funny.
It was more easy for me.
I like that. I feel like you've had a lot of adversity because before COVID, right, in 2017, you actually had like significant burns that were on your feet, right? Like out of all places, it's literally your job to teach, like, what happened and how did you overcome that?
Yes. So a long story short, there was a grease fire in my home where at the time it seemed rational to pick up this pot of fire, grease on fire, and walk it to the sink. I dropped it. I took my shoes off intentionally because I thought, well, okay, I don't want to slip. Right. And I slipped and fell and some more stuff. So long story short, I suffered third degree burns to both of my feet. I was in the hospital for weeks. I was in actually ICU and I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to also walk in high heels again. I had a total of 9 surgeries on my feet from 2017 to 2020. So I remember even just being in a hospital bed. And prior to Monroe Walk Workshop, the heels class was Monroe's Boutique, and I was my own model. I had absolutely no problem with advertisement. So when the nurses learned who I was, they will pull it up on their computers and show everyone out in the nursing hall. And they got my business cards and they put it on the computer. And so they really was like, oh, my God, this beautiful woman, this is who she just was. Literally the day that I got burned, I actually just got done doing a photo shoot. So those were the last pictures I had of my skin just normal and smooth. However, the doctors too, you know, they will, when it came time for surgery, they was like, let's get you back in those heels. Everyone was on this mission to get back in high heels. As for myself, it was a long journey, but I instantly snapped out of this self-pity space, right? I never live in that space too long. And I think that's another one of my strong suits. I am a human. I do go through things, but I honor my feelings for the moment and I get out of it and I keep going. I remember after I got burned, I wanted to hide. I did not want to show my scars. I was taking a trip to Mexico and going to the beach, and I was on Amazon looking for socks that I can wear on a beach. Like, I wanted to hide everything, and I decided to go to a trauma therapy group session. And one of the women there, she told me something that I would never forget. She had a similar situation happen to her with the grease fire and burns as well. And she said, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to always have these scars on your body, and they're going to be for the rest of your life, right? Like, if you die tomorrow, this is how you're going to die, like with these scars on your body, right? So you might as well own it. She was like, let this trip, because I was telling them about the Mexico trip. She was like, let this trip be your first time stepping outside your shell and putting yourself out there. I took her advice. I did. And after that, I just challenged myself. Here we go. Once again, I have to always mentally challenge myself to do different and just go. And that's what I started doing. And now, you know, if you look at my content, you'll see I have the smallest shorts on all the time, scars on each leg, and no one pays any attention to this. I stopped the class at some point, probably the last 5 minutes, and I share my burn survivor story with them. And they're like, oh, I thought those were like tattoo cover-ups. It's like, no, these are my scars. But I share it in hopes that I can encourage them more to be their true selves, right? This is who I am. My body is my body, and I'm not scared to show it. And I hope I just continue to inspire other women. There's been times that I've come across other women and they have a burn survivor story as well. They have their skin grafts showing as well. And they're like, thank you for being you, because now I feel more encouraged to be me, you know? So yeah, that's, now I'm not going to lie. Sometimes still to this day, I randomly think about it. It randomly catches my attention and I'm like, let it go. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let it go. This is who you is. It's never going to change. There's absolutely nothing that I could do about it. Nothing.
It's so true. I was in an accident when I was really little, and a really big piece of my leg was ripped off. And I have a giant scar on the back of my leg. And I really, until I was like 30, would wear long pants no matter what. No matter what. And if I ever played sports, I'd always had my socks up. And, you know, because people would ask about it, you could see it and you notice it. And then, like you, I think that's the best advice, is like, why? It's me. Like, this is me. Why do I let this make me so sweaty and hot in the summer? Why? You know? And I think that's the best advice you can give people. And I love how you do it, because you're like, yeah, I'm going to embrace this because this is me. I can't change it. It's me. And I'm going to hike up my shorts a little bit more and share my story openly. I think that allows everyone to say, okay, we all have our own differences. And some people may even say imperfections, but it doesn't mean I'm not sexy. You know, it doesn't mean I'm not beautiful. It doesn't mean that I can't wear shorts. It doesn't mean I can't wear these heels. And I really commend you for that, because it's really cool to be able to share that. You have a podcast, right? High Heels and Tea. What do y'all talk about? Why'd you start this?
So here we go again. All right. The solution-based problem solving crystal. So with the podcast, as you remember when I said at the beginning of being becoming an entrepreneur, I had so much self-doubt, I'm sorry, about who would want to support me, because who am I, right? I'm just Crystal. I have no popularity. I'm like, I'd rather stay in the house than go to the event type of person. And in addition to that, I was one of the type of women that really felt like I don't need women around me. You know, women are catty and women are this and messy. So I don't want women around me. And one day I was sitting around on YouTube listening to this podcast where it's for women, and it felt so freaking good. It felt like I was just at the kitchen table with my moms or my aunts or my cousins, and they're having this good girl chat. And this was the first time in many years that I felt reconnected to womanhood. And so I said, oh my goodness, how many other women out there in the world are just like me, who feels like I don't need women in my life, right? Like, I am a man, that's it. I don't want friends. No new friends. Team, no new friends. And however, what you don't understand is that there's, no matter what the gender is, there's all types of people out here. You just have to find your tribe. And once I learned more about who I was and what I like and what I didn't like, that really helped me attract the type of women that are just like me for different reasons. You know, I might have my business friend, I might have my mom friend, you know, and these are women for different reasons, and they're great and they're awesome, and they help me feel connected as a woman. Long story short, here I go again on social media, just made a broad post because I had no friends. Hey, I was thinking about starting a podcast. Is there anyone else that wants to do this with me? And we actually started with three women, but one of the women had to go back to school. So it's really me and my really good friend today. Like, we travel together, we do business together. Now we have this podcast together. And we talk to other entrepreneurs. My biggest thing was, I really want people to know who I am behind the entrepreneurship, because social media for me is just a business tool. So it's very, very rare that you're going to really know my views on certain things, right? Or how I am in certain lights or in certain situations. I don't feel a need to post those things. However, if you talk to me, you'll learn way, way more. So I really wanted to highlight other women that were in business and their backstory. And now you get to know us, really, in addition to supporting who we are as entrepreneurs. This is now grown, so now we talk to anyone, men, women, aliens, it doesn't matter. You're an entrepreneur, you can sit with us, and we just have this unscripted conversation. Nothing is written down. I don't do cue cards. Sometimes I don't even know the person until they come and I learn, and I, from there, we have a good girl conversation, or we have just a good chat with the gentleman that's next to us.
Oh, I love that. What's your vision for the future of your companies?
For Morose Shoutique, my vision is to franchise. I now get a lot of inquiries from other women that want to do high heels classes themselves. I would love to help coach them to show how I was able to build things up to the level I have thus far with traveling international. I'm not done, however, building my brand to take up on someone else's brand or their story, but that's what's next with that. I also have designed a shoe collection in 2020. I want to get back to footwear designs as well. I think that really will help solve a lot of more problems in business, in retail, shoe retail, if we get more footwear designers to design these practical styles, because we know what we want, but it's just not available. So here you go, ding, 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 ding. I want to keep solving problems in the footwear industry. And I'm sure I'm going to think of something else to solve one day. I don't know. But that's what I want to do with that. With the podcast, it's under the Morose Shoutique umbrella as well. With that, I want to travel with it. I would like to go to different cities and meet with different entrepreneurs across the globe if I could. Right now, we focus more on local people here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we have so much talent. It really helps give great exposure to how much talent we have locally in our city. So I have a lot of big goals. I don't think I will stop anytime soon.
I love that. What's some advice that you would give to entrepreneurs that are starting to think about doing businesses like the way that you did it? What's some advice for them?
I would say go for it. Whatever it is you want to do, how you want to do it, shoe retail, make sure you do your research and really understand that entrepreneurship is about solving problems. So if you can solve a problem, you have entrepreneurship. You can explore that. If you are coming up with an idea, understand that, get ahead of whatever, like, you know, I guess frequent asked questions maybe that a customer will have about the product or services that you're selling, and learn how to intertwine with that, with your product or your service, and solve problems. That's the biggest things I would say. Go for it and solve some problems.
Yeah, I love that. And then what's one piece of advice you can give to anyone listening to today's episode? Maybe they don't want to be entrepreneurs. Maybe it's just about finding their sexy selves or whatever.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Be empowered. Channel yourself to just be you. Find your authentic self and be true to yourself by doing the things that you love to do, whatever that may be. That's how you feel more, I guess, fulfilled. You feel more complete. You don't feel like I'm not enough because I'm not an entrepreneur, or however that's glamorized, you know. But be you and be content with being you.
Yeah, I love that. And then if people want to follow you or want to listen to your podcast, ask you questions, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at @IAM_CrystalLee. Now that's CrystalLee. And also my website, which is Monroe Chutique, just like Marilyn Monroe. It's a play off of Marilyn Monroe. But I sub the O for U. So when you say Monroe, just put a U versus an O there. Chutique.com. And that will link you to absolutely everything that I have going on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Crystal. I really appreciated the conversation. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I hope we have many more conversations in the future.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @BadassBasicBitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.